Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. We're welcoming into the studio our good friend, Wood County Sheriff Department's Sean Becker. Sheriff Sean Becker with us. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you, as always.
Thanks for being here, sir. I want to send a big shout-out to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Being here, we appreciate them, appreciate the work that they do. Do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to the great work they are doing. Sean, I know we got a lot to talk about today. There's a couple of things that I want to get into with you.
Sure.
But I did want to remind the audience that today, on October 2nd, is National Coffee with a Cop Day.
Really?
So, yeah, I wanted to throw that out there. Just kind of a...
Well, where's my coffee?
Yeah, it's... Pam, can we... definitely what
I in the car.
Encourage people to have that cup, and if anything, it's always a good opportunity to reach out and say hi and thank our good people out there wearing the badge. So appreciate them and
appreciate you bringing that up. I really do. I did not know that, but I did bring donuts in for the staff today.
Nice,
I
mean, nice. So you covered your bases.
There goes that stereotype. Right? But anyway, it is what it is.
So locally, we have an election coming up in November, of course, that everybody knows about. And Wisconsin Rapids voters are going to be having an ordinance brought up about the ATV-UTV ordinance written about activists for the on November ballot.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into what this is and some stats about this, too. Now, for me, I don't have necessarily a whole, like, a one way or the other really pulling on this one. But I have had a number of listeners that were unfamiliar with what this ordinance is.
Yeah. A couple ways I can answer that. One, you know, on a personal level, and then one on a professional level. So let's, you know, look at the professional level first. You know, this is a very popular recreational sport that's been evolving the last several years. And just speaking on Wood County's behalf, you know, a lot of surrounding counties had been moving forward with opening up, you know, county highways. A lot of townships were opening up. I think Portage County opened up everything before we did, and just looked at the recreational value of the UTV and ATV, you know, riding. And you know, the challenges a lot of counties had is, okay, you don't have a trail system like the snowmobile system, you know, the snowmobile trail. So it's a lot different. Some counties like Jackson County, Clark County, you know, have county land that connects to, you know, throughout most of their county, where you're, you know, not only utilizing the you know, the roads, you're off roads, you're on trails. Unfortunately, Wood County, you know, and just like Portage County, didn't have many of those opportunities where you had trails. So with a lot of pressure from people out in UTV, ATV groups, and you know, even people that weren't affiliated with the groups, they had pushed for, hey, we would like to, you know, utilize a lot of the county trunks, county highways, and then township roads. And so things started to evolve. And this is a few years ago. And our highway commissioner did an outstanding job of taking a look at traffic volume in certain areas and was willing to open up a lot of the county highways and just for UTV and ATV traffic. And there's a pretty good argument that people that are advocating for more roads to be opened up, whether it's in the city or out in the county, when, you know, you compare it to other vehicles that are out there, you know, motorcycles, and a lot of the UTVs and ATVs are equipped to go the highway speeds and things like that. So things started to evolve, and, you know, Wood County started to open up a lot of the county highways. A lot of the townships were opening up, and that continued to build. And then what started to continue to build from there is you're seeing, you know, cities start to open up. And probably the biggest one within our county is Marshfield. And I believe that was a couple years ago that they opened up their city streets to ATV and UTV traffic. And then you saw Grand Rapids, you know, probably our most populated township within our county. They did the same thing, opened up, and they did it really, really good too. I thought was a perfect way to approach this was like, all right, let's do some baby steps. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at certain areas that we don't want to be opened up because either the residents in this area don't want it, or high traffic volume. Mm-hmm. Like Grand Rapids looked at County Highway Z, County Highway W, where you had high traffic count. So those areas weren't open, but other parts of the township were. So after that, after a few years now, the, you know, Grand Rapids, everything's now opened up. So I think you see that trend going. Now, on a law enforcement perspective, which is a good thing to bring up, what are we seeing now? Now that most of the county has opened up, Grand Rapids, Marshfield, Nacoosa, Port Edwards, not a lot of issues. You know, yeah, a tragedy could happen, an accident could happen, but it could happen, you know, in a motor vehicle or, you know, a car or a semi or a motorcycle. You're sharing the road with a lot of vehicles out there now, and it really comes down to the due diligence of the operator and to follow the rules of the road. And what you're seeing, you know, with a lot of these cities and townships is you can make your ordinances a little bit more restrictive than the state statutes if you'd like. And what, and I completely agree with what Grand Rapids did, not just because I'm a resident of Grand Rapids, but the way that they approached it now with the baby steps of only opening up certain areas, but their ordinance that they have just makes sense. One, insurance, you have to have insurance, you have to have a valid driver's license, and you can't have an open container. All right. Otherwise, if you go out of the township and those ordinances aren't in place, you can do that. Now, I applauded that effort. And if the city of Wisconsin Rapids moves forward in that direction, like I would encourage them to follow, you know, especially Marshfield, because very similar size city. Take a look at what's going on there. What do their ordinances look like? And then you have a neighbor with town, town of Grand Rapids. Take a look at what their ordinance looks like. What are they dealing with? I'm just telling you from a law enforcement, you know, perspective, we're not seeing the issues that we thought we might have. We're not. And like I said, it's a recreational sport that is growing, and it's growing very fast. And I think it's personally a good thing. I'll be honest, I have a UTV. My wife and I bought one a couple of years ago, and, you know, we're snowmobilers too, and we're getting a heck of a lot more use out of our UTV than a snowmobile. Not that I'm going to throw away snowmobiling,
right.
You know, for example, this Friday, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they have a UTV, and they live in Portage County. Plover just opened up, I believe it was yesterday, and they're going to go on a UTV ride all the way from Plover up to Tomahawk. You know, there's a whole route that you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the recreational value that you have here where you can, utilize some of the county highways, some of the streets within a city or a township, and, you know, finding the trails that are off-road as well, a combination of both. And here you've got a nice vacation for on a weekend to go up and see the colors.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Where it's obviously moving a little quicker up in the Northwoods than it is here. So, you know professionally, you know, now that Wood County and a lot of our townships have opened up, we're not seeing that we've had issues. I don't want to say we have some complaints.
Mm-hmm.
We had some unfortunate tragedies, but in comparison to everything else with other motor vehicle traffic, it doesn't seem to me like it's a huge difference. You know, it's probably even less. And, I'm supporting it on two levels, professionally and personally.
When it comes to anything like this in society, in life, I always have and I think a lot of us do this, what are the pluses, what are the minuses, yeah. What do we have to gain, what do we have to lose? And I come at this from a very, Switzerland area. I'm very in the middle of this one. This one, to be honest, doesn't affect me that much, and yet it does affect me quite a bit, because not only am I on the roads, but I'm a taxpayer.
Yep.
And this has an opportunity. Some of the incentives to this is the idea that it could help a lot of local businesses, help out some of our bars. We've seen this certainly be noteworthy up north, where they got hit really hard over the last winter,
right.
and they could use all the help they can get. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody that wouldn't be in favor of that and helping out that right. area in that way. Now, here in central Wisconsin and in the area we're talking about, my sole question, and I'm genuinely asking this isn't rhetorical, this isn't one of those gotcha things or anything, I'm genuinely asking the community this. Have we earned this? Is this something we have earned as a society? Because I see the stats, like everybody else does, that one third of ATV fatalities involve alcohol.
Yeah.
That 50% of ATV crashes involve alcohol.
Yeah.
And the idea of putting more vehicles on the road and more opportunities for that to happen. Now, as you noted, and you know this better than I do, sir, we're not seeing this in these areas where this has happened. And maybe in our areas, in our neck of the woods, if you will, we've got a better handle on this, and we can, not to say we police ourselves in this, but the idea of, hey, we're going to act like adults with these things. We want to earn this, so we're going to make sure we keep this.
But that's a perfect thing, yeah, earning the opportunity. It's a privilege to operate a motor vehicle, whether it's a motorcycle, you know, a car, truck, whatever that might be. It's a privilege to do that. It's not your right, and don't wreck it for everybody else. As I mentioned, you will see, you know, whatever the statistics are, you'll see that, but you'll see that with every motor vehicle, unfortunately.
Right.
And one thing I do want to point out, I'm not for like, hey, let's open up every single street in the city of Wisconsin Rapids. Absolutely not. There's still some restrictions out there that the state requires on any state highway. They have to allow it to open up. Like the city of Nakusa is opened up, but they meet that speed limit threshold.
Right.
But I still would not be in favor of A Street, you know, being open. Crossing it, okay, that would be fine because you're getting to and from somewhere. The expressway, you know, those busier streets, you know, especially in the beginning, I just would not be in favor of that. That's why I go back to, you look at what Marshfield and especially what Grand Rapids did, that is a perfect opportunity to move forward. That's what I would suggest that the city does. If this passes, I would move forward with, okay, let's take a route system and what are the safest routes that we can have, you know, UTVs, ATVs on, sharing the road with, you know, all the other vehicles out there. Did we earn the right? I believe we have. I mean, it's a recreational opportunity that if people can afford it, they should get the opportunity to do it. Not only didn't you go to restaurants, taverns, but what about the grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one thing my sister-in-law said yesterday, she goes, you know what, now I can take our UTV to the grocery store and, you know, they're empty nesters, so you don't have to have a whole truck full of stuff.
Right.
Well, you can go and do that. That's an option and do that.
Be honest, the fall ride you were talking about, I might get one just to do that. It sounded really nice.
Yeah, I'm jealous. Really good. You know, I'm still coaching football, and I would love to go, but hey, it is what it is, you know, and those opportunities are out there. And I think that you brought up a very good point. Did we earn the right to do this? And I would say yes.
No. I appreciate the conversation, as always. And I wanted to get into another one with you that doesn't involve ATVs, but does involve that beautiful fall air and fall weather that we are dealing with, the fall community bike ride.
Yeah.
River Riders Bike Share is a fall community bike ride with our own Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker coming up at Lake Wasecha Wednesday, October 16th, a week from now, I believe.
Yeah.
Ride will start at 5. Let's talk about this a little bit, sir.
Yeah, it's Hannah Wendell's. Oh, boy, she's going to be mad at me. She got married. All right. But anyway, Hannah, and I've mentioned it before, we go way back. Our daughter, I'm sorry, she used to play soccer with my daughter, Caitlin, and she works for the UW. And she came with the retired now Chief Mel Peterson, like, hey, I got an idea of just doing a fall or just a community bike ride. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And so we've been out at Lake Wasecha a few times now, and hopefully the weather holds up and perfect time of the year. So if anybody's around, come on over with your bike, or you could rent one there. I know they have a handful of them over at White Sands Beach.
Yeah.
That's where we start, and then we do the loop, and it's a good time. And maybe, hopefully, the place across the street will have some ice cream. We can grab some ice cream.
There
and,
you go.
Yeah.
It's so a win-win
can,
right there.
Yeah, you can burn some calories and put some right back in you.
There you go. And if you don't have a bike, if you don't, no worries. River Riders Bike Share is a bicycle for free that you can rent there that day. Take advantage of it. Get outside as much as we can. Enjoy some Mother Nature. And certainly enjoy the opportunity to be able to just be on the same page with each other and building bridges and building community relationships and everything.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to do that and have some fun at the same time. River Riders Bike Share Fall Community Bike Ride coming up with Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker next Wednesday, October 16th, over at Lake Wasecha, over White Sands Beach. We'll be talking about this more in our morning show, and make sure you get a good turnout for that one, sir.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to go out and do that and see everybody.
Wanted to also leave the floor open to you. What did you have that you wanted to get into today?
A couple things. One, kind of disturbing, that I wanted to bring up. We had an issue yesterday come in. Derek Van Orten's office had called us in the morning and said, hey, there was a threat that was reported to the U.S. Capitol Police over the weekend. And that was never shared with the Wood County Sheriff's Department, Grand Rapids Police Department, or the Portage County Sheriff's Department. And this message that was left for Senator Ron Johnson was very, very specific about, you know, hurting people. And then going after a couple of our local churches here in Wood County. And the disappointing thing is that the U.S. Capitol Police did not share that information. So once we got the information from Derek Van Orten's office and Senator Ron Johnson reported it right away to U.S. Capitol Police, they sat on it. But once we got it, we had somebody in custody within 2 hours because the threats that were made towards it, doesn't matter what political party it was, were very significant, you know, and the violence that has been carried out throughout our country, especially with gun violence, which that's what the threat was. You got to take action on that immediately. And once we got the information and located where this individual, Robert Arnold, he's over 50 years old, was living in just the Kellner area off of 85th Street, once we pinpointed where he lives, you know, that information was immediately shared with Portage County. We worked with them, and this individual is arrested now, is in custody for terrorist threats. Mm-hmm. Serious situation, but what's very, very disappointing and upsetting is when the U.S. Capitol Police has the information and decides not to share it. And again, this makes no difference on what party affiliation it is, mm-hmm. you know, and the information was shared with both parties once it came in and notified. So how the information came in, the threat came in, the political candidates or the people that are in the positions right now did exactly what they're supposed to. But on the federal level, they didn't. And that's upsetting. Again, going back to what we've been seeing and the violence, the gun violence, and especially, you know, and what's upsetting to me is not only the party affiliation of who's being threatened, but, you know, you look at churches, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and the information was sat on, and, you know, they had a church service, mm-hmm. you know, and you're talking about shooting up a church. I think that should be probably immediately shared with us. All right. So there's obviously a different train of thought. And a communication breakdown, but
is that what I can't understand why that would not be passed on. I'm not asking you to speculate, but I can't understand why you would not pass that on. That doesn't make any sense.
That's a question I can't answer.
Yeah,
I know what we would have done, and we proved it. You know, it doesn't matter the political affiliation. This is public safety.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't care what side you're on. We want to keep you safe.
Yeah.
You know, and we proved that. But here's a breakdown at the federal level, and it bothers me. You know, but what we could say, though, on how we reacted to it, working on a law enforcement local level, you know, we got on it right away, and we had somebody in custody, and, you know, the person's in custody in Portage County right now, and, you know, we're looking at, even DCI stepped in to help us out, because this wasn't something you blow off. But the partnerships that we have amongst law enforcement really shined, you know.
Well done by you and the team. Appreciate the service. Appreciate the work, as always. I hope more and more individuals out there that are frustrated or are in these situations are realizing that the most powerful weapon you have is your vote. That is how you make difference. That is how you make change. There is no room for this in an adult society. There is no room for this in democracy. We are a young country. We are teenagers compared to the rest of the world. When you look at Asia, you look at Europe, you look at Russia, we mm-hmm. are still going through the growing pains of democracy. And mm-hmm. in order to make that work, in order to be an example to the rest of the world and show that this works, what we're doing here, we need to get along. We need to be able to work together.
Right.
This does not have any place in that society. Treating each other that way does not have any place in our society. We need to come together on that, need to work together on that. And that, that involves all forms of humanity, including people at the very top who are, it is vital for them to pass this information on, right. as well as you and your team doing what you guys did, all of the above. And honestly, I don't use this word very often, but shaming these individuals that do these things, because there is no place for that. There is a billion ways to get your voice out there nowadays. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a podcast. There's a billion different ways to get out there and have your voice be heard in an adult manner. Right. This is not it. I appreciate the work done on this one.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you sharing it, too.
Yeah, no, I think everybody should know that, because it kind of happened yesterday, and our response was swift and quick. Just disappointing that the information wasn't shared as it should have been immediately, and we could have taken care of it sooner. But thank God, you know, we didn't have tragedies out there that we're talking about something different, and we handled it, and we're moving forward.
Well done. Well done. Yeah,
thank you.
Got about a minute before we are our first time out of the show. Do you have anything else you wanted to touch on before we wrap up the first segment?
You know, the month, breast cancer awareness. And I think that in the past we've done a lot of fundraising, and you'll see some of our deputies wearing the pink patches just to support people They're going through a tough time in their life, and that we've got their back like they have ours. And then the other thing, too, is Domestic Awareness Month. And we can get into that a little bit more, but we've got an opportunity with the Family Center to do a video for them. We're waiting for a plaque to come. We want to present to them that we'll have purple patches to support Domestic Awareness Month.
That got me. I didn't know that. That's really cool, man. That's very good to hear.
Okay, it's a surprise.
Just between us. Joe can keep a secret. He's good at it. We'll take a quick time out. We'll be back with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, along with the Wood County Sheriff's Department, here on Midday Magazine at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. I have your host, James Jay, and we are joined by our good friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have our friend Sharf Becker with us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. A big thank you to them for being here. Sean, always good to see you, and thanks again for the time.
Yeah, always always love being here.
We were talking a little bit about the months and the highlighting some of the things about the months. And you mentioned the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, some work that you're going to be doing with them.
Yeah.
Always greatly appreciated. And as I mentioned many times on the air, I am a board member of the Family Center. I support the work that they do very much and look for any opportunity to highlight them and tip our hat to the work they're doing.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And then on the north end of the county, the PDC Center essentially does the same work that the Family Center is doing for do a lot of good for many people in the community that need it. But domestic violence, it's an unfortunate situation that we deal with periodically in our careers as law enforcement officers. But highlighting the Family Center and then the options for people that are struggling, and I'll turn into mental health, you know, because everybody struggles at some point in their life, and looking at avenues to help yourself through a hard situation is the best advice I can give somebody. There's a lot of resources out in the community, whether it's in Wisconsin Rapids or wherever you might be. You know, we all have smartphones. We all have, you know, most of us have the internet, where we can get out there and look for resources when people are struggling. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you can't make decisions for yourself. You know, where if law enforcement's called and this is deemed a domestic violence situation, it's a must arrest situation for law enforcement. We have to do it, and that's to protect the victims that are out there, and people need to understand that. That's why before, you know, it gets to that point, you know, reach out to the resources that are out there and get to know them in your community and take advantage of them, because everybody struggles. You know, myself, I mean, it happens. It's okay. Know your resources and utilize them. Don't get into that situation where we're making choices for you.
Yeah.
You know, and then,
yeah.
You know, even when those situations unfortunately do happen, you know, that's where we can highlight, you know, all the hard work. And thank you for being part of the board of the Family Center, because that's something that makes a difference in our community.
Yeah, and the work that they're doing over there, any chance to highlight it, appreciate it, and appreciate the you guys being a part of that as well. Our community, I should mention, I extend this as well, that this community is incredible, the way that they support these topics and the Hanna Center and some of these other things in town. I'm really impressed with our community when it comes to that.
Yeah, me too.
What else you got on the docket today?
Oh, back to badge game.
Yeah.
That's coming up, as I mentioned earlier. I'm coaching again at Lincoln High School. Love it. Don't love a record.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring that up.
I feel bad for the kids. I mean, they're trying, and it's just been a tough year, unfortunately. But they're good kids, and I always appreciate Tony Viola, head coach, good friend of mine, and the history we have, you know, getting to know each other in college and giving me the chance to you know, work with kids. And this is my 10th year already, and it's been a lot of fun, but it's been a tough year. And Tony came up with the idea of having a back to badge game where it gives the opportunity for the football team to go out and raise some money for, you know, our K-9 unit along with Wisconsin Rapids PDs, and our game's coming up on October 18th. So a couple weeks, then it'll be the last game of this season. And we've amped it up the last few years. We'll have many of our law enforcement officers there from our department, Wisconsin Rapids. You know, I like to get our armored vehicle there on display for people to take a look at. And a few squads there, and then it gives us the opportunity to you know, hang out with the fans. Mm-hmm. And then the support from the kids is awesome. You know, periodically, I get to practice a little late. I'll be in uniform, and it's kind of a distraction to the kids. And, asking me work questions, I'm like, hey, we'll talk about that later. Yeah. But they've been very, very positive, and I really appreciate what Tony's done, you know, throughout the last few years. And now it's at a point where the kids will have a different uniform, you know, not their normal uniform that they have, you know, they wear either home or away. This one will be a specific uniform that the kids get to keep afterwards. Cool. And, you know, it's all, you know, back to badge stuff, and it's cool. And something that we thought of this year, and it started actually last year, when Marshfield came down, it was the back to badge game. And I say, let's give, you know, the football team from Marshfield Senior High escort down, you know, kind of amp this up a little bit, the rivalry within the county.
Yeah.
And they bid on that pretty hard. So we, along with Marshfield officers, came all the way down to the stadium here down in Rapids. And good game. We lost, unfortunately, 6-0. But the Marshfield community kind of bid on that. And so the school district and the police department. So we had talked about this year about, okay, you know, how do we want to continue this? Do we want to make that game, no matter what side of the county it's on, the back to badge game? And that was kind of coming from the Marshfield folks, you know, the school resource officer Anthony Klein, you know, and their head football coach Ryan Christensen, superintendent. Everybody is like very supportive of it, and we already had the support here in Wisconsin Rapids with, you know, the leadership in the school district. So it's like, what a great opportunity for moving forward in the future. Kind of, I don't think it'll go to the level of the River Jug game with Smash. But this is something that's evolving that I'm really proud to see that Tony, you know, had started, and now you have another community, equal size school within the conference, within the county, to kind of move forward to have that moving forward as the back to badge game. Marshfield put their own on last week, Friday, and wow, they had a great showing. They allowed us to bring our armored vehicle up. Several of our deputies went up there as well, and our special response team in Marshfields is combined. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a fundraiser to raise money for our special response team selling calendar raffles. And so we set up and sold calendars there, and wow, the people are very, very supportive. Sold quite a few of them. And just got an opportunity to, again, highlight not only our agency, but Marshfield Police Department's and Wisconsin Rapids PD brought up a squad as well. So it was really cool. And Marshfield just did a phenomenal job, you know, with their version of this game. They even had a flyover.
Helicopter, nice.
You know, flyover from LifeLink, you know, right after the national anthem. It felt like we're at Lambeau. It was really cool.
Right.
And I didn't know that. You know, we're on the sideline, and all of a sudden, you know, they announce it, and it just kind of, you know, boy, it was cool.
It hits you, man.
Yeah. And, you know, many of their officers were there, like the coin flip, and then a couple of the Rapids PD auxiliary folks that came up to volunteer their time, went on the field for the coin toss, and just the way the version they did was really cool. And a lot of that we did, you know, before Tony was doing and having us do, but They did a phenomenal job, and I'm looking forward to seeing this game kind of evolve into what it is. I was emailing some of the other officers that were involved and say, hey, you know what? We should design a trophy that can travel back and forth. You know, I think that would be, you know, with the support that we're getting from, you know, both communities, I think that would be a great idea to, you know, put some funding towards, and then you've got a traveling trophy between, you know, both cities, having, you know, the Sheriff's Department and then Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids Police Department, you know, have their names to the trophy. You know, maybe the kids want to design it, and then it travels, you know, back and forth between the schools.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to make that happen. We got some great award builders out here and everything. We get on that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It is so encouraging to hear this, not only for our community, but the Marshfield community, our communities in general. Mm-hmm. That certainly noteworthy, the battle for Wood County. You know, this is a big game, and a game that we want to win and all that. But that being, you know, putting that aside, it it speaks to really, for me, what has always, why I've always loved sports. I love seeing my teams win, but I'm a Chicago fan. I don't see it very often. I just throw that in there. But in all seriousness, the thing that I love about sports is what it brings people together. Yeah. And we find this commonality. Even when we don't necessarily root for the same team, we're all rooting for that badge. Yeah. We're all rooting for these things or the opportunities that sports creates to build bridges and like this this event does. It's fun to see these teams play each other. It's so much more fun to see these communities come together and showing that, hey, you guys do so much for us. Here's an opportunity for us to show you we got your back too. That we back the badge, that we support you. We support our good officers out there doing the right thing, doing the good work, protecting our communities. We appreciate it not being the Wild West. These kind of things matter. The personalized jersey kind of thing is always a cool idea. Yeah. That's cool for the kids and stuff. But this actually brings me back to something that we were just talking about. But we were talking about it with politicians. And the idea of, regardless of who you're voting for or what political party, these are human beings.
Yeah.
And normalizing and getting back to normalizing, hey, these are human beings. You and I talk about this a lot when it comes to our officers and how important that is in our society going forward. Because if we don't do that, who are going to want to do these jobs?
Right.
You've got generations after generations growing up right now and watching mom and dad or watching, political pundits or anybody shredding these people and stuff. And there needs to be accountability for all these jobs, for every job, my job, absolutely, your job, everybody's. But at the same time, we've got to be careful of how we treat each other. Yeah. And these keyboard cowards or these people out there that are doing some of those things, you're not helping. You're not making things any better. If you have something to say, say it like an adult. If you have something to say, go to the right source. Go to where something can be done about what you're talking about and handle it like an adult. And remember, every single time when it comes to these politicians or an officer or anybody, they're human beings.
Right.
And if we don't treat people like human beings, the only kind of people that are going to want to do these jobs are people that shouldn't have them. The people that are doing them for the wrong reasons. Right. We need good people in these positions. That's how we get them. We get future generations to want to do these jobs by treating each other right. Again, accountability is always important. Nobody's saying not having that. But if we don't treat each other right, who are going to want to do these jobs? Who are going to take over the mantle? You and I are not getting any younger. We're not.
what are you saying? Is it the gray?
We'll talk off air. We'll talk. No, it's an important one and a great game, a great event. We're looking forward to it, hoping to get a win off of that one. I won't lie, a little biased on that one. Lincoln alums around here, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, like I said, the kids are trying, and they're a bunch of great kids and great staff. And it's frustrating. I know it's very frustrating for especially parents, and having the opportunity to do this for 10 years. I've seen it happen, it's the ebbs and flows, and sometimes you have a really good team that's working together. This team's working really together, and I think they're a good team. It's just unfortunate that we're not getting the wins, and it's frustrating for a community, and it's frustrating for the student body and everybody. But we'll keep trying. That's all we can do.
Yeah, we'll keep covering it too around here at Playmakers and then our sports people around here as we keep covering high school sports throughout the whole season.
Yeah.
Where else did you want to go next?
A huge thank you on the raffle. The calendar raffle. I'm wearing a Brewer hat today. It was funny. Last year, I'll help out to announce the winner in the morning. We do it every day, 8:30, all the way through October. And somebody was teasing me last year about not wearing a hat or something because I'm getting a little light on top. So I'm like, okay, fine. So I kind of threw that out last year. I'm going to wear a hat now for whatever reason that might be. So now the theme this year, when I help out, I'll have a different hat on. Today was, yesterday was Lincoln High School football. Today was the Brewer hat. So and anybody's got ideas, let me know.
We've got
a whole month to do that. But huge, thank you to everybody who bought tickets, our sponsors out there that helped out, and then the special response team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to go out and ask people for money, but remember, it's expensive to especially have a special response team, and there's a lot of equipment out there that we do need to keep them safe. And we appreciate them being part of the team, and something I did for many years in my career, and I loved it. I really appreciate them stepping up and being out there for our community and going out and you know, asking for donations. So that'll run through the rest of the month, all the way until October 31st. We've got some really cool prizes on there. Not only just firearms, but this is more of an idea that came from Scott Sager, who retired. He said, hey, why don't we make it an outdoors and raffle and add, you know, chainsaws, firearms, UTVs, lawnmowers, a lot of other things, a little different than, you know, not, you know, ripping on anybody that just does firearms, but here's a combination of stuff draws a lot of interest. So the prizes are decent. And so that's going on now. So take a, if you bought a ticket, every morning for the rest of the month at 8:30, we'll be drawing a name, and good luck.
Where can you get those tickets if they still want to pick
some? If you want to still buy one, we could sell you one or as many as you want. Just contact us at the Sheriff's Department. We do have a few left over, so if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to.
Right on. Thank you. Speaking with Sheriff Sean Becker right now. And Sean, what else you got on the docket?
Oh, we had some heroism in our jail recently. I don't know if you saw our Facebook post we put in a couple of days ago. Victoria Stumper just got promoted recently to a sergeant. And she's running one of our night shifts. And due to the observations of her team, one of the corrections officers, she was just out doing rounds, kind of noticed something was off with one of our inmates and paid attention. And the person was trying to commit suicide. And that quick interaction, the communication between her team, you know, getting in there, prevented somebody from getting hurt. Their quick action and, you know, going in there, taking care of the situation, you know, led to this individual not even have to be transported to the hospital. We had the person checked out, they were physically fine. Mentally, they weren't. And then, as we always talked about, the niches that we've been doing the last few years in our jail, you know, revolving around mental health, and that kicks in, you know, working with crisis and human services, and then, you know, our mental health counselors, you know, Sheen in our jail, you know, stepping in to help this individual out who's struggling while they're in custody. You know, everybody was a hero in this situation, and I'm really proud of Victoria for her, you know, leadership and stepping in and doing, you know, what the team did to help prevent a tragedy, you know, because unfortunately, you know, I hate talking about them, but, it, you know, years ago it was happening in our facility and people were dying and that we needed to be better. You know, you can't, you know, somebody really has that intent and doesn't show it and give us the opportunity to help them, it could happen. But I got to say, our staff's awesome, you know, and the you know, the leadership, the hard work and doing their job, you know, these are situations that especially corrections officers, you know, don't get the appreciation that they deserve. Yeah. Because here they save somebody's life. You know, you might see an officer or deputy sheriff or another first responder out in the community do it. But here, you know, the corrections officers just don't get the recognition that they deserve. And well, this is something that they really do deserve it.
And our society tends to not care about inmates enough. That's just me talking. Just me saying that, and I certainly have some baggage with that in my family and everything, and seeing it a lot in society. But it would be no different if this person saved a citizen walking down the street and they saw they needed help. This is no different, it's just as noteworthy and just as important. I appreciate you bringing it up because you're right. We don't hear about these stories enough. We don't hear about these situations enough. Hopefully, not only does it create some empathy for our workers in those buildings and everything, but some understanding of what that job is like as well.
Right. No, I totally agree. They're heroes. And no, I appreciate the opportunity to get to talk about them because it's kind of fun to brag about.
Yeah.
You know, because they're part of our team and people stepping up and going above and beyond and just seeing the changes that we made and the buy-in with our staff and, you know, even with our county board. You know, we talked about this recently because it's budget time and you know, we're building a new facility and we need to staff it. We need to add staff. And, you know, with the approach that they've taken, not only moving forward with the build, but, you know, the staff, you know, and okay, we need more staff, but then paying them, you know, they got a really good, significant pay raise not that long ago. And that was on the county board when we brought up, hey, we need to do something. They didn't walk away from it. They said, okay, we will. We're going to do something. What's fair? And we work, you know, through that. I can't brag enough about our county board working together. You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
I'm not picking on any other county board or anything, but We're lucky, you know, here in Wood County. I really think we are. And each people, each person that was elected into our county board, whoever they represent should be proud of them.
Mm-hmm. And appreciate you bringing these different sections of this environment under the law enforcement umbrella up to us and everything, because we don't get another thing we don't get to talk about nearly enough. And I don't think, especially talking to a lot of the community and people over the years, mm-hmm. I don't think people always understand completely what a job is. I've talked about this with Lance Plimble and what it is to be a board member or something. And, mm-hmm. you know, you and I have even talked about this, the difference of being a sheriff and a police officer and some of the things where responsibilities are, what is on your plate and all these. The more we talk about that stuff, hopefully the more common knowledge it becomes.
Right.
Got about a minute or two left, sir.
Be quick.
What are we going to do? Yeah.
Drug Take Back Day, October 26th. That's going to be, there will be several drop-off points throughout the county. Take a look at our Facebook page for that, for those locations. Congrats to Corrections Officer Tina Sigalski. She just got her bachelor's degree.
Right on.
So I'm looking forward to her moving up in her career. Huge thank you to Gary Bloom, who finished 14 years of service with the Sheriff's Department. I could talk about Gary for hours, but thank you for him. He's in part-time employment with us doing transports and helping us out. But his career goes back probably five decades in law enforcement and, you know, as a veteran as well.
Wow.
But thank you, Gary, for your time with us. We really appreciate you. And you know, what do we got? Oh, 2024 Spirit Award from Counselor Holly Hakes recognized our Wood County Sheriff's Department, or actually Wood County Peer Support Team, and their what they've been doing to help, you know, other first responders within not only the Sheriff's Department, but dispatch, and reaching out to, you know, other first responders throughout the county. Holly recognizes, she's a counselor that specializes in helping people that are struggling through their careers as a first responder, not exclusively to law enforcement, but all of us. And she took it upon herself to recognize our peer support team that Kelvin Dorst oversees. And I couldn't get him to come on the radio today. So, you know. I should give
Next
you
time.
His address and phone number and say, come on, chicken. But anyway, so that's really what I got left.
It's great stuff. Thank you for all that. Now, did you say Gary was his name, that gentleman?
Gary
big
Bloom.
Shout out to him. Yeah. Big thank you to him for all of his work and his service and certainly his everything he gave, not only to our country, but to this community and everything. A big thank you. And great work today, man. Okay. I really appreciate the conversation, as always. Always good talking with you. Thank you for the time, sir.
You bet. Love it.
We'll have Wood County Sheriff Sean Becker in with us next month again. We're looking forward to it. Want to say a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Go to YouTube, like and subscribe to what they do, and follow them on social media. Support those that support us. Buy local, support local, everybody. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.